morning, and welcome to the Region Queens Municipality Regular Council, Tuesday, August 10th, 2021. I remind people to please turn your phones on mute, and that these this session is being recorded. So, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Are there any changes or approval to the agenda? Hearing none, I would ask for approval of the agenda. Moved by Councilor Brown, seconded by Deputy Mayor Muse. All those in favor? Passed. I would like to welcome our diversity and inclusion team members to our presentation table. Eric Levy is our staff member who is hired to look after the diversity and inclusion items in this region. And with him is Linda Earle.
Oh, a couple there.
So,
well, we don't do that.
Eric and Linda are here to, within the terms of reference of the committee. They do provide brief updates to the council from time to time. So, who is beginning? Linda or Linda?
Morning.
Good morning.
So I am Linda Earle. I'm the team lead for the Diversity and Inclusion Action Team. And as was just mentioned, part of our terms of reference is to provide periodic updates to the council and reports. And knowing that this initiative was actually started prior to this council, and that we've had a global pandemic in the interim, I'm very pleased to be able to be here to give you an update on the team and the work that the diversity and inclusion work that our team and the region has committed to. So today, what I'd like to cover for you is just a brief overview of why we're undertaking this focus on diversity and inclusion, give you a few pieces of information from our community survey, and let you know who we are as the diversity and inclusion team, what our purpose is, and some of our work to date. So why focus on diversity and inclusion? Well, it's pretty easy to say that that's an important thing without really having to think too much about it. Yes, we want everyone to feel like they belong in Queens. Being included and feeling like you belong is a basic human need. Yet all too often, the reality is that people are excluded from our workplaces, our community life, and our systems. And that has very real consequences that are harmful to us all. If we all just think back to our middle school and high school years, we probably will remember that horrible feeling of being left out or excluded. But beyond the individual challenges that exclusion creates, it has some very real impacts on us as a whole society. So the quote on this slide is from Mumalak Kakak, and she is, as folks know, an NDP MP from Nunavut. And she has decided not to reoffer. And she says, "Every time I walk into the House of Commons grounds, speak in these chambers, I am reminded every step of the way I don't belong here. I have never felt safe or protected in my position, especially within the House of Commons." So inclusion has some very real impacts in terms of representation within our government and allowing us to be the democracy that we need to be. If folks have read the Ivany report, it's clear that for our province, ensuring that there is inclusion of people from all walks of life and building that is critical to our economic success. And from a health perspective, that sense of belonging is a key determinant of health. So one of the pieces of work we've undertaken is a community survey to just find out where we are here in Queens. We have some results. It's an open survey, it's ongoing, and we'll be promoting it more. But an initial grab of the information we have to date shows us that when we ask the question, how well do we celebrate, or do you feel like the communities in Queens County celebrate diversity and inclusion? What you'll see there is that only about 10% of people were able to say yes. So that gives us a sense that we do have work to do. When we ask, do you have a strong sense of belonging in your community? It's nice to see that about 2/3 of people do. But it does beg the question, what about the other third of respondents? Why don't they feel that they belong, and what can we do to improve that? So thankfully, we now have a team that is focused on this work. And we have a couple members from our team here as well today. So Phil Prendergast and Jesse Lonis. And we are in total a team of 10 community representatives, volunteers, who feel very passionately about diversity and inclusion issues. The other members are listed on this slide here. And of course, we have Eric, who is our diversity and inclusion coordinator as well. So hopefully you recognize some of these names, or at least feel free to get in touch with any of us if you have comments or questions or issues you'd like to discuss. So just as an overview, from our terms of reference and our foundational documents, our purpose is to provide impactful advice to you as a council, to the community, around issues of diversity and inclusion, to consider what education we might need for all of us, and to provide recommendations when it comes to diversity and inclusion issues around policies and programs. We also are here to help design positive and supportive opportunities for Queens residents to celebrate diversity and inclusion and to promote that celebration of diverse communities. Really, our goal is to ensure inclusion for all. It's a little hard to see the details on this slide, but we wanted to just give you a sense of some of the very important foundational work we've done. It takes a lot of time, especially when you have volunteers, to get things up and running. And as we know, this last year has not been normal, but we've been able to accomplish a lot. So we had our first meeting in December, only 8 months ago. And we were lucky enough to recruit and hire in February Eric, our coordinator. We've developed a communication and engagement strategy. And we've organized ourselves with some subcommittees, communications and policy subcommittees. We've launched the survey. Eric is working with our CAO around the assessment of diversity and inclusion from an organizational perspective. We've started to explore connections that will help us in this work. Launched a small grant program and our policy subcommittee has begun reviewing the flag policy as a starting place. We are looking at how we can increase engagement within the community, and over the next while we'll be really trying to build some of those connections and relationships with particularly at this point our business community and Acadia First Nation. So into the future, there's lots of work to do. We are going to continue to look at, with using a diversity and inclusion lens, at the region's policies and practices, build those connections, look at ways to celebrate within the community our diversity. There's an opportunity to look at the municipally related truth and reconciliation action calls. And really, the list is endless. We're only limited by our imaginations in terms of how we...
It's true, it keeps growing.
It keeps growing, that's right, in terms of what we can do here in Queens. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you, and I would be happy, Eric and I are here, if you have comments or questions.
Questions or comments? Councillor Brown.
I noticed that you're going to be reviewing the policies and procedures, and we also have an audit and internal control committee that is looking at policies and procedures. So do you guys do a first pass for diversity and inclusion before it comes to our committee, or is there a way that we can combine? I'm not sure what's the process. For somebody.
I'm not aware of that process. I think that the goals of our review are really specific to diversity and inclusion. So asking questions at, who might be excluded by a policy, what the options are to maybe look at that a little differently. I think certainly, you know, there's room to connect there if, you know, if there's a way so that when things come to council, all changes are made at the same time from a process point of view.
Yes.
That being said, you know, when we do our review, it won't necessarily always result in a need for, you know, recommendations to you on changes. It may just be ways that we can fully bring certain aspects to life. And I don't know, Eric, if you have any.
Yeah, I mean, in the terms of reference, it emphasizes more on practices and procedures and things like that. So I think when we look at a policy, we are looking at it with the diversity and inclusion lens, but then sort of the carry through, the implementation, how does that come to fruition, and is that inclusive in action rather than necessarily the construction or how it works. So, I mean, different policies will have, and practices, procedures, all those P words, will have different priorities and focuses, and as we look through that, we'll be also assessing, you know, what is the purpose of this, and when it comes to implementation, how can we provide advice on that. So in terms of working with other committees, there may be more process that needs to be ironed out, but from our perspective, it's just looking at, you know, if we've got a policy or a practice, how is that impacting the community, and is that being done in an inclusive and representative way?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And there was another question from the side. Councillor Fancy.
Yes, I really appreciate what you fellows are doing and trying to do. Is a, I know we had talked before at one time about even up at school, because at school is probably your worst case scenario where people will pick on people. That we had talked about after school programs that could be done over at the Queen's Place, whether we charge or not charge, to be able to have a place, a safe place to go and be able to meet together and talk and find out who's feeling left out and being able to go. And I think it would be a wonderful avenue with some of our rooms to be able to utilize to be able to do something. The one thing is I see where you're looking at the flag policy review. I don't fully understand that at this particular time, because we did a flag policy review back in, well, we didn't review, we actually built one in 2017, so it's only 4 years old. We put a lot of time and effort into what we did at that time, trying to take in everything into consideration and to find where, when we looked, because I was part of that group that when we did that, we looked around the province and there wasn't that many people who had flag policies. So if you wanted to fly a flag, you couldn't fly it. Or how long do you fly it and what you do? It was a real mess. So I thought we were kind of somewhat pioneers at going forward with that. I think the big thing right now is with the policy, especially with the flag policy, is utilizing what we have, which has never been done. It was set up to be able to people to be able to fly the flag, but then they don't do anything with it. It's because I remember other councillors say, "Well, we didn't celebrate anything this month." Well, no, because we just put the policy in place and it's for others to do something with. I know I called up to Shelburne during Black History Month 2 years in a row, trying to get the lady who goes up there and speaks to come down here and speak, because then you're going forward with something you're doing and trying to say, okay, it's Black History Month, we're going to have a speaker here and tell us all about everything that she knows, and a, you know, professional speaker, and be able to get to understand what all the trials and tribulations, which we don't always get to know. So I think that's utilizing what we already have to make changes or do things going forward. Why not just utilize what we have until we find that we need to make changes? That's my thought. That's why I don't understand with the flag policy review. I think it's good. You know, but I think we need to look at what we have and say, okay, oh, there's Aboriginals month, or I forget what it's called now, I'm probably saying it wrong, but be able to have people and celebrate it, have some flags, do some things, utilize what we have. And when we also say too, because you were saying inclusion, it could even be new people moving into the area that do not feel at home, that they do not feel like they're part of, and then we look at, they buy these new homes and 3 years later say, there's nothing I could be part of or nothing that's going on here. What have you got here for me? The first thing, they sell their home and move away. So we want them to be included along with that, so that becomes part of it. So if, I mean, if you fellows are taking in all these things, I would be really, really appreciated.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilor Grancy.
So certainly, you mentioned, you know, the school, and I think there's lots of opportunities to connect with our educators. I mean, they experience on a daily basis, as you mentioned, issues of diversity and inclusion, and I think there's lots that we can support each other with, and those will be some of the important relationships. You know, with respect to the flag policy, I mean, I think we agree that it is about using what we have, and so as Eric mentioned, you know, when we look to moving to implementation, and the very fact that we may have a policy that permits the opportunity to, you know, raise flags on special awareness days, how can we make that so that perhaps it happens automatically and remove that barrier to people having to apply? Mm. So can we look ahead at special awareness days and put a plan in place so that there is that visible representation that's happening because the policy actually permits it? So I think actually the flag policy is a good example, and it was just one we started with, and again, not that we're suggesting changes need to be made, but how can we actually make it come alive in a way that it's intended so that there is that representation. And I think your other comment, certainly we saw in our survey, in some of the qualitative responses that people provided, that there is a bit of a theme of, you know, come from away sort of feeling that people don't always feel like they belong if they weren't born and raised here. And so that's exactly the type of thing that, with that information, the team, you know, will hopefully look at how we can move and make some changes so that everyone does feel like they belong here, whether they were born and raised here or have recently moved here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Linda. Are there any other comments? Councillor Charlton.
Thank you. I remember when Todd Sines and Paul Wood were in there for a session early on when we got elected, and it was brought up that I believe there was a survey done with LRHS students who asked, they really just wanted a safe place to hang out. I think it possibly was that a safe place to come back. I'm just wondering if that's been discussed, realizing that a pandemic has really stopped most things like that from happening, but is that something that's in the works for youth in our community?
It's not something that our team has yet tackled. Now, Paul is still a member of our team, and so certainly, you know, he would have that connection. We really, you know, are just getting going. And so I think there is lots of opportunity to explore that. How can we create safe spaces for everyone to feel like they belong and what's actually needed? So certainly, I think that's something that can definitely come back to the committee. We've, you know, at this point too, we've explored, Eric and Elise, our accessibility coordinator, have looked at ways that they can work together so that, again, you know, different groups, whether it's students, whether it's persons with a disability, you know, regardless of who the group is, how can we understand what keeps people excluded and try to work to change things.
Right, and on that point, like, we're very fortunate to have a number of educators on our team, so I can really see once the school year starts to go again that we've got a lot of really great contacts to help us make connections with different schools and people within, so I can really see if I have my crystal ball that in September we will be working a lot with schools, because youth is one area that we recognize is very important to foster inclusion in. And as you noticed on our slides, like, we have one vacancy, and we are hoping to do some sort of targeted recruitment to have a youth be a voice on our team. So, yeah, absolutely. And any of the great ideas that counselors have had today, feel free to send them on to me, and then I can bring them up to the team, or send them on to a team member, and they can bring them up. So we're always welcoming of input, ideas, and things, because, you know, we are a group of 10, and there are 10,000 in the community. So varied perspectives are always welcome, ideas, input, so please never hesitate to stop by or send an email or call.
Okay, and is there an age requirement for that?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, reasonable.
Yeah. Well, would you consider reasonable, like 16
and above? Yeah, that would be fine. I mean, I, you know, we do have meetings, and if somebody were to require adult supervision, we could accommodate that, but yeah, if
seeing no further questions, I thank you, Linda and and capable hands. And we all look forward to becoming a more inclusive and diverse community. So thank you for your work. I look forward to what I know will be great changes for us, in especially within our policies, to make everyone feel included.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Council, for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. The water rate study, the consultants will be here at 10:30 to present that rather lengthy study. Are there any petitions to table? Public question and comment session. Please be reminded to state your name and your civic address, and your speaking time is limited to 5 minutes.
That's Mayor Norman, Dan Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. Under 9.1, the committee of the whole process, reading the information there, and under Board of Rules of Order, to make it a bit more complicated with respect to the having the committee of the whole meeting, as I see it. And would these meetings be open to the public, the committee of the whole?
All committee meetings are open to the public.
Okay. And my comment is that I feel that it should stay as it is, 2 council meetings per month.
Thank you for your comment.
Okay. Now, under 10.1, water rates and increases, a lot of information for emergency pages and so on. What type of increase are we recommending?
That will become knowledgeable as we, once that report is presented, it clearly states within the report the need to do slight water rate increases over the next 3 years. It will, if you stay for that, then you will learn that.
Yeah, slight increase over the next each year.
This region has not increased its water rates since 2002. And most municipalities every 3 years do a water rate increase, because it's very important that the utility has enough revenue to meet its expenditures. So it will be a very slight, and as I said, that will be all brought forward during that presentation.
I guess my concern was, I realized we had had a rate increase for a long time, that the increase might be quite substantial, but apparently it will be reasonable.
The increased rates are within the documentation provided.
Thank you. And what I said, 11.3, I noticed there the Power Corp has sent a letter in with a bill that we owe $36,000 with respect to street lighting. Is that for the capital cost balance?
Yeah, if you read that report, it when Nova Scotia Power converted all of Nova Scotia LED lighting, it suffered some losses, and it divided it up between all the municipalities and the number of streetlights, so we owe Nova Scotia Power that money, as many other municipalities also will owe them specific amounts depending on the number of lights.
So that's specifically for the capital cost, and that'll be the final cost to us?
That will be our final cost for the LED light conversion.
Then we'll just have our monthly bill from there. Is the rate, as the LED lights, we get a cut rate for those compared to the old ones, or?
I am unsure of what that rate is. I would assume it's lower.
We do, not yet, though.
Yeah, we save money by having the LED lights on a monthly basis, right?
We will, beginning probably next year.
Next year? Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else who wishes to address council?
Curious why you don't have a table for people to put the stuff on to them. It's kind of awkward, and I only have 5 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Roy, it's just a short, brief time to make some public comments.
and all the people that are involved, invite them up to my property to see this trench. I think they should see the trench. I only had one person come, and well, I had Ralph, he knew about it, so anyway, when I called the mayor to tell her about this here, she said, why don't you stop what you're doing? You will not get the culprit. I think that is pretty low down to kind of threaten me to, I have to sign this agreement, which does nothing for me, but it's all for the reason of Queens. Now, the drain was, this ditch was dug because it stopped water from flooding people out on Birch Avenue all around our house, and the ditch started way in Milton, and it come down through our land, and my father's property, and also for the people across the road. And then I was talking about flagstone, and people don't understand what flagstone is, but I do. It's cement, it's rock that is split up, and it's used to make the same thing as culverts would use. Anyway, there was two agreements stating that the culprit was unsafe, and also I gave copies of that to them, and the new agreement that the Region of Queens interpreted by the mayor, and it was that we were supposed to have a culvert put in by a private company, and then when that's done, the land was going back to me, but I would be responsible for the trench, and I'm not taking any responsibility for the trench because the agreement that my father signed, it looked after everything. It didn't have to, it didn't call for a culvert, but it did call for 115 feet of flagstone, which you didn't need a culvert, and the land was supposed to be left looking good and safe. So anyway, when my father signed this agreement, he signed it from Town of Liverpool, which you fellows inherited, and when he signed the agreement, he didn't take the copy, and so he came and dug the trench. And what they done to my father is, they didn't do what they said about the 115 feet of flagstone. They didn't, the trench is just an open trench, and you can see it now, I have the proof of it. And it has rocks all laying over the place, and it's just a big mess. And when my father went to see when they were gonna come finish it, they said, you do not have anything in writing. And which he didn't, and he just signed it, and it was a Towns Act, and it was quite, it was fair to him and also to the town. And so he signed it, and he signed it in front of D.L. Parker, which I found out was a town engineer. So when my father left, he didn't have the agreement that he sold. And so this D.L. Parker, he knew that he didn't have it and said, do you have anything in writing when he got it done? My father said, no. And so my father did everything he possibly could to get this here thing done the way it was said. And they just went to work. They put an old pipe in because it cuts the land in two and just left it the way it is. So we've been 70-some years with this trench the way it was. Now, my father had said they would roll rocks into it, and they said, back into the trench. And he said, well, you okay to take it out? And then he got after them. They brought this flagstone here into the pasture, and they were supposed to do it. And then after that, a few weeks or so, they came and took somewhere else. And so anyway, the town said this here about what they're doing about putting the culvert in, they're doing it in good faith. I beg to differ that it's in good faith. I mean, my father, he signed it and he never got anything out of it for 70 years old. We got this look at this trench and the mess that they made. Now, the only time we have people come in our area, I know we live in a low-class area, and I assume I am one, and then there's high-class people. So anyway, the only time we have anybody come around if they want to be voted. And so that's the only time we ever see anything. So when the mayor come along, I was at home, but my wife repeated what she said, and she said she wanted us to vote for her. But her slogan was that she is ready to go to work. Yes, go to work for the higher-class people, but not the lower people like me.
Mr. Roy, I find your comments very disrespectful.
Well, I find you folks have done to my father very disrespectful.
Mr. Roy, I regret that you have sad memories of 70-some years ago, the relationship your father had with the former town.
It isn't 70-some years ago, it's all these years, it's a perpetual,
Birch, where you live is a beautiful part of Liverpool. Why you consider and why you would state, I know many people that live in your area. It's
I
a beautiful part.
I thought I was going to have my thoughts
and
you folks don't have the same thing.
I resent that you implicate that I only look after high-class people. You are finished your discussion. We have had our lawyers advise on this. Yes, I suggested to you that you should sign that agreement. It would solve your culvert problem. This matter is finished, and I do not wish to hear you again speak about this matter in such disrespect.
Can I read the statement that my father signed?
No.
Why
it's
not?
A long legal agreement, and we're not
going
into
that. It
isn't
long. It only will take about a minute.
Mr. Roy, no.
Why are you trying to go to work and keep this under cover?
It is not.
Now, I ask you if this legal document was,
Mr. Roy,
was if you
finished.
Folks are going to go along with it, and you said yes, you have to.
And it is to our lawyers. We
it
have consulted.
You must have consulted your lawyers ever since last January. It took me from last January up until June to get an answer out of you folks. So can I read this agreement?
Not
are you scared of this agreement?
No, we are not afraid of that agreement. It's a
well, I'll tell you, if this was a trial and I was up for murder and you folks
Mr.
never heard
Roy,
the evidence,
this is
you
not
folks would hang
trial.
Me.
This is not a trial. We have consulted our lawyers.
No,
we have offered you a very good way to fix your property.
Okay, it says, the Saint Lincoln Roy does therefore grant and convey that the said town of Liverpool the right to enter upon said Lincoln lands are now owned in possession of Lincoln Roy and dig and excavate an open ditch constructed and covered flagstone 150 feet. That is his land. You fellows say that was done before. It said right here, why would my father sign something that belonged to somebody else? And anyway, the length is 115 feet, running henceforth direction west of Wall Street and
Mr. Roy
said Tannery Brook, and that the said Lincoln Roy will all times herein the town of Liverpool deems it necessary to permit and allow the town of Liverpool, the servants, agents, and the workmen to enter upon
Mr.
all
Roy.
The said lands and deep say and the soil and therefore and do other necessary works for the purpose of renewing, repairing, improving, and altering the said trench and covered flagstone so dug, effectively, and constructed, provided hereafter that the area of the same is left in good and safe condition. And my father went along with that. You folks over the years have entered it, but you've never ever done it, and I'm saying that the trench is there, the rocks are there, it's open trench, and you're not fulfilling this. This here is as good today as when my father signed it back in 1947. So why don't you fellas do what is right?
Mr. Roy, it is our legal advice that the former town of Liverpool did satisfy the terms of that agreement.
How?
It is a legal matter, and we will
you,
not
if
discuss
if you
fellas
had the decency to come out and look at it, you'll see that it doesn't look good. They took rocks. They got them laying all over the field, and here was a big open mouth trench. That the thing must be 10 feet in some places. And
Roy,
they put over them, and out of over,
finished.
So unsafe. But you fellows say it's safe. What do you council members, when I checked with them, they said,
Mr. Roy, am I going to have to adjourn this meeting?
I know I wouldn't get nothing fair from you. I knew it would.
Mr.
From you fellows,
Roy,
all of you fellows, there's a couple of them that have, but anyway, thanks for your time.
Some
approval of the minutes. Approval of the regular minutes of July 13, 2021. Is there, moved by Deputy Mayor Muse, seconded by Councilor Amaro. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Our bylaw officer has been very busy looking after dangerous unsightly premises and other things. Nothing to report at this point in time. Economic Development, Corporate Services Committee of the Whole. You may recollect that at our last meeting, council gave direction to our CAO to investigate the Committee of the Whole procedures and how it works. The report is in front of you. Discussion. Make any comment? Councilor Councilor Charlton?
I just have a few questions. So we spoke about before about having a Committee of the Whole, and then it was potentially one Committee of the Whole, one council meeting per month. But it was stated that under our current rules, we would not be able to debate anything at council. So I'm just wondering, I've been trying to investigate Robert's rules. They're complex, obviously, they're longer than ours. However, I'm just wondering if Robert's rules would allow for us to debate at council meetings as well.
I am not up on Robert's rules of order. I am familiar with Gorno's rules. I am not familiar with Robert's rules of order. It's never, I've never had a reason to read Robert's Rules of Order.
I understand that. Just at the last council meeting on July 15th, if you look at our minutes, I had mentioned about investigating Robert's Rules for this report. So I'm just wondering if we, if anyone would be able to comment on that.
CEO McNeil, you ran under Robert's Rules with the former municipality. No.
I mean, I've used Robert's Laws, but I haven't used it recently, so I'd have to go into Robert's and look to see what the actual terminology is. Off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly what that phrasing would be for Committee of the Whole under Robert's, other than what's in the report here now.
Okay, and so, in your opinion, would, so I'm assuming we have the option of obviously adopting Robert's Rules to allow for what Council is expecting for Committee of the Whole, where we also have the opportunity to amend, make amendments to our current rules to allow for that? What would be your opinion on that?
That would be correct. So if council's comfortable with Bornell's rules of order to use now, then I would suggest you not go to Roberts, because Roberts is much more complex and much more detailed. It would require everybody relearning a whole set of rules. And if council wishes, council has its own set of rules as well. And if council wishes to deviate from Bornell's, they simply need to amend their internal rules of order to change things that then don't apply that are in Bornell's rules of order. So if Bornell's says there's no debate, you would just be required to amend our in-house rules that say debate is allowed.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Fanta.
I guess how many people, I tried to get a hold of other people, but I couldn't, never did make any headway, but just trying to find out how many other people, how many other counties, regions, towns use Committee of the Whole, and how effective it is. I guess that's, you know, like, we can talk all we want to about it, what it could be or couldn't be, but if it's effective other spots, and maybe it's a matter of modifications and things that we could make work on. Maybe we didn't run the Committee of the Whole properly before, and the only reason we went away from the Committee of the Whole back in, I guess, my first term of here was that we wanted to go forward as we do now. We can be able to make recommendations or motions on every council meeting, and so nobody gets delayed. But we had also two other counselors on different committees that we bring back reports. We've gone away from different things we used to do before, so sometimes it becomes people feel, as we've talked about, something brought here, and all of a sudden you think, 3 or 4 days later, I don't know if I would have voted for that if I would have had more time to think about it and have more information, which I have. So that's, I guess, why we're looking at the committee of the whole.
In answer to your question, your rules of procedure are as effective as you wish to make them.
Yes.
So regardless of what rules you work under, they are effective as council wishes to make them. There is yet to be a vote respecting or any idea. If it is committee of the whole, CAO McNeil did note that keeping Borno's rules, which are much less intricate than Robert's rules, would be a wise decision, but we would then change our unique rules and procedures to match that. Hmm. Now before we can set them off, to do that, our CEO would want to know what we wish to see as our rules and procedures. For example, if it is the consensus of the majority of council that they would like to further investigate a committee of the whole structure and to come back with motions, then our CAO needs to know what those motions will look like. For example, if we were to work under a committee of the whole meeting, presently, I as the mayor would not chair any of those proceedings. They would be left to the deputy mayor to chair. That could be changed if it was a wish of council that the mayor chair committee of the whole and the mayor chair council. The reason the mayor or the person who chairs council usually doesn't chair committee of the whole, because at committee of the whole it allows that person to have unstructured time in the debate. As we do it now, we simply turn that chair over. So there's that factor. There is the factor of under Borno's rules, there is no debate at council, because committee of the whole is the body in which staff are present at the meetings. You question staff regarding all the information you need. If you have further questions, seek further information. You can ask staff for further information between then and council. But presently under Borno's rules, when they come to council, there's no debate. If you wish to have debate at council, then we need to know that. And we also need to know before we set our staff off to do this work, what is the consensus of council? Do you wish to investigate further a look at a committee of the whole structure, which would basically be one meeting a month, and then there's a 2-week generally gap, and then a council meeting? Those are the decisions that you make as council. You are the body that decide how you want to govern yourself for the rest of this term. Those are your decisions. So I guess we need to hear some comments. I'd like to hear some comments. Councilor Romero.
We know council meetings are recorded, but can committee of the whole meetings be recorded as well?
Any meetings that you wish can be so recorded. Those are decisions that council makes. Before I hear Councillor Fancy, who's already spoken, mm-hmm. Councillor Brown.
I think we need to investigate the possibility of having debate at council meetings. We're looking for the extra time to do this. This is why we wanted to go to a committee of the whole system to gain extra time and another second thought. I think we need to have opened up for debate.
So on that matter, debate at council, are most people in consensus with debate at council?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Muse?
We had committee of the whole before, and we still had the two council meetings a month. I, Leon mentioned in public session that, you know, to do away with the one council meeting, I do agree, I don't think we should be doing away with our council meeting. I think we should be setting up a committee of the whole, either after a council meeting or another time. I'm in favor of having committee of the whole. I think a lot of these policies should be looked at or, you know, motions and discussed before council meeting, but I don't think we should do away with any other council meetings.
So are you stating a committee of the whole meeting to just, that every agenda item would come forward to?
No, that's what, I don't think every
I
item should go to the committee of the whole. Like looking at our agenda today, like the financial quarter was one. I mean, I don't think that should be coming to the committee of the whole. I mean, it's just a recommendation that we'd have to look at, but I mean, but then you got like the committee of the whole discussion we're having right now. I mean, that should, you know, something like that or the noise bylaw committee. Like that should have went to a committee of the whole and have a discussion. But I do not think that we should be doing away with our council meetings.
So I guess my question is, who and how would we determine what council agenda items go to committee the whole before they come to council? Or at council, if they were on an agenda, would you see that if they were something that someone was uncomfortable with or needed more information at that point in time, would a recommendation be made for them to go to committee of the whole? I just don't understand how we would decide what items go to committee of the whole.
Well, when we had the committee of the whole before, every item that was coming up on the council agenda did not go to committee of the whole.
Who made that decision?
I'm not real sure. The CAO and the mayor, I guess, at that time.
Anyone want to speak before I hear Councillor Charlton? You want to follow up on this, Councillor Charlton?
I'm just wondering, is that not something that our CAO could reach out to other CAOs to find out whoever does do committee of the whole process, what that looks like generally? Because I've investigated that a little bit on my own, and as Kevin said, not everything comes through committee of the whole. My understanding of committee of the whole is it's for more informal discussions and that second sober thought, and those 2 weeks before those motions are passed. So could that be brought back with the recommendation based off of what Mr. Camille can find from other CAOs and the committee of the whole process?
It could be, but someone has to make the decisions on what matters go to committee of the whole and which ones do not. Formerly, when I was years on council, we had a committee of the whole and a council meeting. Mm-hmm. One committee of the whole meeting, every item that was known to go, that was going to council, was on that committee of the whole agenda. Every single item was on that committee of the whole agenda. Except, for example, you wouldn't have had the financial reviews, those type of presentations wouldn't have been, but everything else would have been on the committee of the whole agenda. And then 2 weeks later, there was a council agenda that had all those items plus maybe a few more. That such as the reports and presentations. Now that was not working the way under the Board of Rules structure. But I mean, our CAO McNeil needs some clear direction on what you want of him, because he needs to know exactly what it is
safety is to do.
Counselor Fancy?
Yes, as Counselor Muse mentioned, what we ended up doing was to have two council meetings a month, and in between, that Tuesday in between, we'd have a committee of the whole.
And what would be on that item? What would be on that agenda?
It would be on, again, it was, as Counselor Muse has said, we never, it would be things that we could be open for discussion, the things that we would want to talk about. That's what we ended up doing. We didn't have a say in it. Well, I think it was the mayor and the CEO would get together and talk about what needs to be put forward to be able to look at, but it meant an extra meeting a month, and that's what we ended up doing. We did that for quite a while, doing that. But again, if we're going to even look at our asking our CEO, do we want him to go forward to bring back something? Is this what we want to bring back? Do we want to look, as you said here, about making it, because if you have a committee of the whole, then does it make it debatable at council? Well, we'd want to have that debatable at council because we don't want to lose that.
We already agreed on that.
Yeah, and and then the staff, would they attend the committee of the whole meeting?
Yes.
Well, I think we'd want that because it would be questions, because that's more so than any time to have someone here to talk to and ask questions so we'd know what direction we need to do. Substantive motions you had mentioned here before too, you know, you can't do those things at the last minute. But we have added items at the last minute. Like I could come in this morning and say, look, I'd like to talk about such and such, and you say, okay, well you can do that because it's not going to change anything. It's not going to require a motion. It'd only be a discussion. So you could add that. So that wouldn't be substantive. So yeah, so I would like to see a look at it and even reach out to some others and find out how it works. You know, I don't want to reinvent the wheel if somebody else is having it and it's working well.
Councilor Gidney, are you forming your thoughts?
I have lots of thoughts, but I'm still confused with some of the items. It appears that what we want to do here is that maybe the whole can't determine what should be on it. Maybe everything on the agenda would be on it, and we review it and say, okay, yeah, we'll talk about this, or we don't need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, then that way we can make a decision at the time, and then nothing is excluded that we plenty have talked about. I like the idea of a third meeting a month. I think it's very important that we do have two council meetings, and I don't see a problem with that third meeting because there's a lot of things to do. And I think that would be very advantageous for us. So I guess we've got to determine what the rules are. We want debatable. But see, not knowing what is we have to do, it makes it a little bit difficult for me because I'm not sure, like we make a decision and then we don't know that, okay, because we made this decision, we can't do this or we're restricted from this. That's I have that problem because I don't know all the internal workings. But that's my feeling. I want it debatable. I want to discuss everything on the agenda, or everything on the agenda to be eligible to be discussed. If we can't, fine. If we say no or don't want to, and a third meeting. So, thank you.
Looking at the process, so let us say council meeting is the second Tuesday. So there's a committee of the whole meeting on a third Tuesday. And then there's a council meeting on the fourth Tuesday. And then there's a council meeting on the first Tuesday of the next month. Well, where's the committee of the whole? With only one committee of the whole meeting squashed in between two council meetings, does not a committee of the whole have to proceed?
That council meeting?
Because
that's one of the things I don't understand.
I don't understand how that would work that
way. How far in advance do we make up the agenda? How far, like, there's a lot of other questions here.
Right.
So, and that determines how we can proceed.
The committee of the whole structures that I'm familiar with have a committee of the whole and a council meeting. That's it. Because your committee of the whole meeting, if it's in front of your council meeting,
deals with the items on that council meeting, because who knows what's coming up 3 weeks later at the following council meeting. There's the, I mean, it can be flushed out, like, I mean, CEO McNeil can look at all these things and bring them back for discussion again next month with no motions or recommendations, because we will need to, or we can simply refer all of this today to a committee of the whole meeting. Because we do have the ability, under Bornell's rules, to take issues like this and discuss them at a committee of the whole meeting. We have that ability to do that and get this out of this council chamber, because really, council chambers should be for when things are ready to be satisfied. This is a committee of the whole discussion, just the way it's happening. So would someone like to, we could refer this to a committee of the whole, the discussion of a committee of the whole to a committee of the whole?
Maddie's had a hand on there for quite a while.
We're getting it too complicated, I think.
Yeah.
And every municipality in the province does stuff a little differently. And so we can do all kinds of research, but I don't think it's gonna be recalculable. I think we need to decide what we want ourselves, what's helpful for us, what council needs to make good decisions. So what information do you need? How often do you need it? What format do you need to be in to be able to make good decisions? That's what we need to know. The logistics of it, staff will deal with, and staff are indifferent. It doesn't matter which process you use, they're all the same to us. Whether you call it committee of the whole, council, whether you call it, other municipalities call it different things, it doesn't really make a difference what the name is. More about what the structure is going to be. If you change the process, it does create some logistical issues for staff, but that's staff's problem to deal with, and we'll deal with it. But council just needs to be clear as to what the process is, what they want for information. So if we're having council today, and if next week is committee of the whole, then the agenda has to be done. If we're doing it as we do now, the agenda has to be done tomorrow. So actions from today aren't going to get done that need to be implemented, aren't going to get implemented tomorrow. They're going to have to wait until after we get the next agenda done. And then we're always chasing ourselves. And that was, I think, my understanding from before when we had two councils in the committee of the whole. The staff were always chasing issues and never got caught up because they were always in meetings, always in meetings, always in meetings, always trying to do things. And so, but staff will figure that out. We need some clear direction from council. And simple things like dangerous or unsightly premises. If there's a hearing before council, it has to come to council. It can't come to committee of the whole. Otherwise, the person has to come to committee of the whole. You can't make a decision. Then the person has to come back again 2 weeks later or a month later for a second time. So those logistical things have to all be considered as part of this whole process. And so it's not just simply making a motion to go to committee of the whole process. We've got to go through all the policies, all the processes, all those types of things. So it's a logistical issue, but staff will deal with it once council decides clearly what direction they want to go, what the end results are.
Councilor Charlton?
For me, I feel like I want more time. I want to be able to have these discussions informally and then have that 2 weeks to reflect on things, because often you think of other things or people reach out to you based off of the conversations that we have at council, but then we vote on those motions right after these conversations, and so it's too late to ask questions of when the residents ask you these things. So for me, if we have a council meeting on the second Tuesday of the month, and then we have a committee of the whole in between, and then another council, it entirely defeats the purpose of why I brought this up, because I think we need the 2 weeks. And speaking of Mayor Mood of Yarmouth, she has one committee of the whole meeting per month, one council meeting. She said if something is pressing, she'll call a special council meeting right after her committee of the whole, because she has her council there anyways, if it needs to happen. So I personally would like to try one committee of the whole, keep it on the Tuesday at 9:00. It suits staff. Staff are here. Then you have the 2 weeks to find out additional information. If you require it, you can ask that of staff. As she stated, her staff aren't at her council meetings, which are, in the evening as well, because you have that 2 weeks to find out any additional information, and if something comes up last minute, our CEO can answer it. So I personally would like to see that. If we feel like after we try that for a while, if we have a lot of business or we need to add an additional meeting perhaps, then I think we should consider that at that time, but I think we're just making this too complicated, and by adding 3 meetings right now, I think it takes away from what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
we need to, under Bornell's rules, we can have committee of the whole meeting for whatever matter. This is a discussion that needs to go to a committee of the whole to get figured out and then brought back to council. Are we in agreement with that?
Yes.
We need no motion?
Well, we need to defer this to a committee of the whole session.
We need to defer this, so if.
That's your wish.
Councilor Brown?
I move that we defer this to a committee of the whole to finalize discussion, to ask staff what we want.
And we don't need a motion for deferment, do we?
Second.
A second.
Seconder, Deputy Mayor Muse. All members in favor of deferring a discussion of committee of the whole slash council to opposed? So a date will be set and we will iron those things out when we have the proper time. 10.1, we are going to